Sounded terrible, didn't it, Johnny? Good morning, Miller. Hi, Johnny. Oh, I'm seeing people I haven't seen in a while. So here's what I really want to tell you, though. I could steal your mug, so watch out. I accidentally did, so now I have mine back. But all these mugs, I put it down and I lifted someone else's up. Luckily, I got it to here and I'm like, I had no idea, but I have held this mug for so many years, I literally thought, what's in my hand? So it was one of our fabulous farm fellows, and they're very forgiving, and I promised her in this day of COVID that my lips did not touch her mug. I promised that. However, that is a way to say you are welcome to bring your mugs and fill them, or use our coffee cups, teacups, and bring that in. That is always one of the biggest shockers, actually, for folks coming into worship, is that. And so I want to do permission giving, especially in some people are really even smart, and they've been bringing mugs full of ice, and then they make iced coffee. How resourceful. I'm going to invite us to begin worship on this morning when Pastor Matt is away for a couple Sundays on vacation. And we are grateful for that, but I'm going to invite us to rise as we move into this next song. Thank you, Ariel.
I've been in the storm so long. Singing this is a needed time. Singing, oh Lord, give me more time to pray. You know I've been in the storm so long. Singing, I am a motherless child. Singing, oh Lord, give me more time to pray. You know I. Been in the storm. singing, I've been in the storm so long, singing, oh Lord, give me more time to pray. You know I've been in the storm so very long.
It is not the world you behold until it calls out to you with your own silent name. It is not God you contemplate unless that mystery includes you, though it is nothing like you. It is not God to whom you pray unless that one is more than the one to whom you pray. It is not God you believe in unless you know you don't know what you mean. That person or even spirit is an inept metaphor, too clear, too manageable, too imaginable. The infinite mysterious will accept your unknowing lean as worship. The gracious one will cherish your wonder and speak in unintelligible tongue your silent name.
God. Great. That was beautiful. Such a beautiful day it is, right? Welcome. My name is Sarneet Prasad, and I'm our Sunday morning coordinator here at the table. For those online, my friend Bob is hosting today, so welcome. You can write or chat in any questions, or you can write in the chat box if you have any questions, and Bob is there to answer. So we welcome you too online. And Greg, hello. Today's bulletin is available with a QR code, those in the sanctuary. It is right in the seat that you're sitting, right at the end. You can scan it, and that QR code will take you to our website and to our link, and you can get bulletins and a lot of other things that is on our website. If you are new, we have a number that is on the screen right now. You can text NEW on that number, and it will go to our Pastor Matt and Pastor Linda, and some of us too, which is including me. I get to see it too. And you get to connect with all of us. You get through a series of text messages, and you're welcome into different steps, and one of them is growing in faith. And growing in faith is an avenue for us to grow together here at the table, and it's a way to connect with others. It's one of the ways to connect with others, and it's a series. It's a six-week series. And we do have a retreat here in Sacramento, which is from August 11th and 12th. And Davis UMC, which is full now. It was supposed to be August 25th, but it's full now. But for the Sacramento one, you can go on our website at tableumc.org and sign up. Pastor Linda was talking about her mug. And Lynn is going to be out there next step table. And we have a couple of mugs and umbrellas and someone glass in next step box, and people have actually forgotten them here, and we are going to get or take them away on August 5th, and August 5th is our cleanup day. We need you. You can sign up on our website through registration. You can go to our website and sign up. But we do need you. It's from 9 till 12 for a cleanup campaign. And most of the things are going away. So please, if it's your stuff is out there, get it, and or else it will be taken away. But please sign up for August 5th, which is our cleanup day. There is a basement, which most of our admin team was here. They were trying to label them what things needs to go away. And we need manpower, women power, and everybody's power. We invite you to remain seated as we continue in worship with our music team sharing a song called Strength, Courage, Wisdom. Thank you.
my eyes, they're lifting me. I've been hiding for much too long, cause I've been too afraid to let it show, cause I'm scared of the judgment that may follow. Always putting up my living for tomorrow. It's time to step out on faith. I gotta show my faith. It's been elusive for so long, but freedom is mine today. I gotta step out on faith. Time to show my faith. Procrastination had me down, but look what I have found. I found courage and wisdom. It's been inside of me all along. Strength, courage and wisdom inside of me. Behind my pride there lives in me that knows humility. Inside my voice there lives a soul, and in my soul there is a voice. But I've been too afraid to make a choice, cause I'm scared of the things that I might be missing. Running too fast to stop and listen. Time to step out on faith. I gotta show my faith. It's been elusive for so long, but freedom is mine today. I gotta step out on faith. Show my faith. Procrastination had me down, but look what I have found. I found strength, courage, and wisdom. It's been inside of me all along. Strength, courage, and wisdom inside of me. Strength,
Good morning. My name is Bob Martinez, and I just want to say we are truly blessed and gifted to have such amazing musicians. And it's nice to have Natalie and Hannah back. Welcome back, girls. I mean, you're all great, but it's nice to have them back. So at this time, I want to invite our children to move from the sanctuary to the A-frame with our volunteer leaders for summer children's activities. As our musicians help us with some walking music, while we have loving and professional care for our youngest children in the A-frame throughout worship, summer children's activities is designed for children in elementary school, with a story and art in the A-frame and also an opportunity for play outside in the play yard. We continue to invite teens and adults to help us this summer by signing up for a date on our website. So this morning, our reading comes from the book of Daniel, and I'll be sharing from the New Revised Standard Version, and we invite you to try to follow along. Now, King Nebuchadnezzar made a golden statue whose height was 60 cubits and whose width was 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Accordingly, at this time, certain Chaldeans came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, drum, and entire musical ensemble shall fall down and worship the golden statue. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. Now there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These pay no heed to you, O king. They do not serve your gods, and they do not worship the golden statue that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought in. So they brought those men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods and that you do not worship the golden statue that I have set up? Now, if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, drum, an entire musical ensemble to fall down and worship the statue that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire, and who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and out of your hand, O king, let our God deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face was distorted. He ordered the furnace heated up 7 times more than was customary and ordered some of the strongest guards in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. So the men were bound, still wearing their tunics, their trousers, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the furnace of blazing fire. Because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was so overheated, the raging flames killed the men who lifted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But the 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the furnace of blazing fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up quickly. He said to his counselors, "Was it not 3 men that we threw bound into the fire?" They answered the king, "True, O king." And he replied, "But I see four men, unbound, walking in the middle of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the fourth has the appearance of a god." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the door of the furnace of blazing fire and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire, and the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their tunics were not harmed, and not even the smell of fire came from them. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. They disobeyed the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. And therefore I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that utters blasphemy against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way." And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
We have a phenomenal music team, but we also have a phenomenal storyteller in Bob. Thank you, Bob. Yeah. It was such a story, and a friend of mine who will remain nameless, who's on vacation, said, "You should cut it." And I'm like, "No, we're going to hear the whole thing. It's so dramatic. It's so dramatic. It's quite a story, and it reminds me of a few things, and I don't know if any of you, I am really totally church girl, you know. So in seventh grade, I was in a musical, a church youth musical at the Presbyterian Church in Berkeley, California, and the name of the musical is "It's Cool in the Furnace, Man." I am not going to sing the song, but I can hear it in my head. The other reminder for me always when I come across this story is of an old movie, and I'm dating myself again. So back in 1994, and I'm reminded constantly, that is a long time ago, Mom. Seems like yesterday sometimes. And I've watched this movie a few times. Maybe you have too. It's called Clear and Present Danger, and I've watched it a lot of times because Harrison Ford, that's why. Simple. And if you've seen it, then you know that it's a movie that's based on a book or the writings of a man named Tom Clancy and a character named Jack Ryan, who has been played by many actors throughout time. But if you ask me, Harrison is the best. And no, I did not name my son Harrison after Harrison Ford. I did not. I have an Uncle Harrison. So, but about the movie, focus. Let me say a little bit more. Jack Ryan, there he is, is a CIA agent in this iteration. And the President of the United States assigns Jack Ryan to go up against a bunch of Colombian drug lords, as the president does. And Ryan has some idea of doing this above board and legally, of course, but his partner, a guy named Ritter, has a better idea and sets up a covert military operation all behind Ryan's back. And by the time Ryan finds out about it, a lot of bombs have gone off, as you can imagine. A lot of people have died, and after almost himself getting killed, Jack Ryan ultimately winds up in the Oval Office, confronting the President of the United States about his own part, the President's part, in the scandal. So we have just a little clip from way back when.
"You're upset. I'm upset.
Well, it's understandable. You mind if I give you a bit of advice? Of course, you know this because you're a smart guy. You should never make important decisions while you're upset.
You did. And American soldiers and innocent civilians are dead because of it.
I never ordered any...
No, don't even think about playing that game with me. I will not let you dishonor their memories by pretending you had nothing to do with it.
How dare you come in here and lecture me?
How dare you, sir?
How dare you come into this office and bark at me like some little junkyard dog? I am the President of the United States!
It gives me no pleasure to do it, sir. As Acting Deputy Director of Intelligence, it is my duty to report this matter to the Senate Oversight Committee.
You're not going to do that?
I'm not.
No, no. You've got yourself a chip in the big game now. You're going to tuck that away. You are going to save that for a time when your own ass is on the line. And then you're going to pull it out. And I'm going to cash it in for you. Right?
I don't think I have anything more to say to you, sir.
The country can't afford another scandal, Jack. To protect itself, it won't allow the possibility of another deception that goes all the way to the top. You'll take the blame. Cutter and Ritter will take some too, but it won't amount to much. They'll get a slap on the wrist. And then $20,000 an hour on the lecture circuit. The rest of the blame will fall on Greer. Oh, yeah, you'll take him down with you. You'll destroy his reputation. But that's as far as it'll go. The old Potomac two-step, Jack.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. I don't dance.
It's such a great line. I'm sorry, Mr. President. I don't dance. I think the reason, and I love the line, and maybe you too, is that we get that he really means it, right? And the viewer knows that Jack Ryan takes absolutely no pleasure in saying it. Like, he doesn't look joyful. In fact, from the time he discovered what was going on, Jack Ryan in the film looks so miserable. Like his stomach is churning. And it's a look he carries right up to the end of the very end when he raises his right hand. Yeah. And swears to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to the Senate Oversight Committee. Because see, if Jack enjoyed this, if he had like relished in the scandal or relished in bringing the president down, he would be nothing more than the object of his own devotion. But instead, Tom Clancy's Agent Ryan is a servant of the truth, which was far more important to him than his own comfort or personal safety or reputation. And as with all movies, the end leaves us wondering what actually happens next, right? It was entirely possible that Ryan was discredited and disgraced by a Senate committee bowing to a president. And I don't know about you, but I can imagine that these days. But even if that was what happened, it would not have mattered to Jack, I don't think, because his purpose was never to become a hero. His purpose was to serve the truth. Serving the truth is what gets us from the movie to the book of Daniel. And three young men who have also no intention of being heroes, at least as far as I can tell. They're just doing what they believe is right in serving the God of Israel. And the book of Daniel offers us a glimpse, not of a threatened CIA agent, but of a trio of young refugees whose existence is threatened in this new land. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for these three, as it says in Daniel 1, are young men without physical defect and handsome, versed in every branch of wisdom, endowed with knowledge and insight. It's in Daniel's first chapter that we learn that the names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, had actually been changed from their birth names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Those were their birth names. And this change in names is really significant, as names not only signify one's identity and one's heritage, but in the case of these particular names, also they signified one's religious beliefs. So all three of their original names of these Jewish men, young men, contain references to God, such as God is gracious. That's what Hananiah means. Who is like God is what Mishael means. And God keeps him is what Azariah means. So these references to the God of Israel have now been substituted with reference to the Babylonian gods, such as Nebo, for example. Abednego means servant of the god Nego. That was a fact to take in this week. In addition, the king has brought these young men from their home, which was Jerusalem, after he destroyed it. He trashed it, or sacked it, as they said back then, along with a bunch of other young nobles whom the king meant to train up for his own court. He planned for them to live in the royal palace, and so, among many other things, that meant they would sit at the royal table. So Daniel and his three friends stood out from the others immediately. And why would that be? Because they refused to eat the king's food, because it wasn't kosher. So that was the first signal. Even though Jerusalem was no longer, their home had been destroyed, they intended to remain loyal to their ways. Further evidence, and the main part of our story for this morning, of the deliberate attempt from those in power to compel the immigrants to change their religion is evident in the king's order to force Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to bow down and worship the golden statue of the emperor that he has created. In other words, submit to the emperor's authority instead of the authority of the God of Israel. And as we heard Bob so eloquently read, they refuse. And their resistance is met with an incredible show of power when Nebuchadnezzar threatens them with death. We heard all of that too. And if you have ever taken a pottery class, I don't know if any of you have, or have a mother-in-law who happens to be a potter, or seen a studio, you have a vision of what a huge furnace looks like. It's how they built them back then, too. And it's a large and made of bricks, and it looks something like this without the shelves. Probably bigger, but that's a pretty huge one. It's large enough for people to walk around inside. That's how big the furnace would have been. And one theologian I read this week wrote, there were probably as many bones in the furnace as there were pottery shards. So everyone there, hearing this, knew that the king meant absolute business. But if the people of God are anything at all, we are a people of God's true authority, which sometimes leads us to collaborate in protest against that which claims authority over God, right? It's a necessary action we undertake. And the Bible in this story in particular gives us ample evidence. We have kings of old who claim to have power of God, like they actually felt they had the power of God. And should we think this is just an old story of old time ways or pass off the Old Testament? So many people say, I'm fine with the New Testament. It's the Old Testament. And they just kind of dismiss it. We can look no further than the coups and the indictments in our day. It's still happening. But let's stay with Daniel. Focus. So the furnace is stoked, and the music begins to play, and the crowd all bow down on cue, but not our loyal three. They mean no disrespect. They simply are servants of the truth. They can't bow to a statue, like they can't eat the king's food that's not kosher. And the king, even though likely humiliated, tries one more time, sounding the music to see if they will bow. Nope. They serve a higher authority than the king, and essentially they are saying, "We're sorry, Mr. King, we don't dance." There you have it. And into the furnace then they go, and what happens? The king looks in and sees this mysterious fourth figure, and they are saved by that fourth figure, and they come out without even the smell of smoke on them. And this freaks the king out, to put it mildly. And astounded, he converts to their God of Israel right on the spot. And for all intentions, this is a happy ending right there. And the book of Daniel preserved this happy ending for all time. Obey God, and God will rescue you. But I'm not convinced that was even the point. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not trying to make that point, at least not from my vantage. It's a subtle difference, though, but I think it's worth us taking time to note. I think the point is that they wanted to obey God no matter what. No matter if they were eating at the king's table. No matter if they were threatened to be thrown in a furnace. No matter if they were actually thrown in a furnace. No matter if anyone ever even knew whether they were right or not. And when Nebuchadnezzar gave them one last chance to change their mind, they don't say, "Go ahead, do whatever you're going to do. God's going to rescue us." That's not in the text, because they don't really know. They simply protested by telling what they would not do in the most polite of terms. "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to present a defense to you in this matter. If our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire and out of your hand, O king, let him deliver us. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship the golden statue that you have set up." As I said, it's a subtle difference, but it's a difference. And one theologian writes that, as far as she is concerned, this is actually the high point of the whole story. A respectful protest. A "we will not." Everything that happened after that was extra. The moment of sparkling clarity was the moment when three stubborn human beings declared what, for the love of God, they would not do, period, end of story. It's what I would call the portrait moment. And for us, it becomes, in this moment, a story about following Jesus all the way to the cross. And for us, it shows how easy it can be to put yourself at risk of actual death with a simple, "I'm sorry, I don't dance." Here, in this story, you're putting yourself at risk to Nebuchadnezzar. Later in our biblical story, it's to Pilate. Today, to any of the powers that tell us to forget who we are and dance to the tune they are playing, and give us a name that's easier to pronounce. It would be easy if we had a big bad king, though, like Nebuchadnezzar, to cross our arms and say no to. Probably I would stamp my foot too. But really, that's not how it is. Not very often, anyway. We face powers that are a lot more subtle. Barbara Brown Taylor reminds us in a sermon on this passage, "We have been living in Babylon for so long that it takes special gifts of discernment just to recognize the foreign gods. They do not even seem like gods. To us, they just seem like the hard realities of modern day life." So what are we supposed to do? One way to discern foreign gods is to pay attention to what is going on inside our bodies. When someone who holds positional authority over you asks you to do something that makes your stomach hurt or gets your chest and throat tight, start looking around for a golden statue. When someone asks you to lie about something, saying, oh, it's no big deal, or maybe to set someone up, and then lets you know the consequences should you refuse to do it, the knot in your stomach can tell you that you are being recruited to worship a foreign god. Which god it is actually doesn't really matter, since it has no life of its own. Its life comes from those who cast it in gold. Does that make sense? I hope it does. And they are always hunting for new converts. First, they find you far from home, hungry for something you seem to have lost. They give you a new name because, as I said, it's just easier to pronounce this way. They offer you farm-to-fork food and wine from their own wine cellar, Screaming Eagle, Opus One. They appoint you to positions of power. And then one day, they invite you to a new dedication ceremony where you are introduced to your new god. It's actually quite simple, someone tells you. When the band plays, worship the golden statue, thank her for all of your good fortune, and promise her your loyalty from now on. That old god of yours is of no use. Don't you agree? This one's bigger and better and far more reliable. Gets you where you're going. This one, you just bow when someone says bow, and good things will keep on coming your way. Refuse to bow, though, and you'll lose everything. That's the standard portrait pose hanging in many galleries. Bowing. Recognize it, and you may begin to see that portrait on other walls around you. Maybe even you might eventually be hanging in the hallowed halls with a portrait of you bowing. But it might be so clear that one day you get your own chance to really, really choose between the golden statue and the furnace. And if you do, remember that there are two gods in this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. One is 9 feet wide and 90 feet high, located safely far outside and away from the furnace. And the other is flesh and blood, and it's found inside the furnace. That mysterious fourth one who appears to those who will not dance, walking with all of us through the midst of the fire. Amen. I really do believe that most of us face opportunities to recognize the golden statues that are offered to us every day. And that's whether you are a student in an educational place, right, season of your life, whether you are working in that season of your life, whether you are retired and you have all this time. Whether you are in the later season of your life and you see the end a little bit more, we face opportunities, which is why we pause like this before we approach God's welcome table. to acknowledge those opportunities, to acknowledge the ways we miss the spirit that's in our midst, dancing with us in the fire. And the church calls this a prayer of confession. And I invite you to stand in body or spirit as we join our voices together with this prayer. God of mystery, if we ever needed you before, we sure do need you now. Rather than stand still and believe, we dance to the music of wealth, status, and security. Forgive us, we pray. Give us the strength, courage, and wisdom to step out in faith that is saving. Friends, may you know the depth of God's love in the depth of your being, and that God is with us always, forgiving and lifting and standing in solidarity, even dancing in solidarity with us as we refuse those statues, or even when we give in. We are still God's beloved children. Thanks be to God, and for that, let us say amen. And let's join in the call and response, which has become the way of the church throughout the ages. I say, may the peace of Christ be with you, and you say, amen. Prayer together with the words Jesus shared with those around him so very long ago. They have been adapted and changed over the generations, and the church has named this the Lord's Prayer, and this version comes to us from a paraphrase in the New Zealand Prayer Book. Let us pray. Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, Source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. your commonwealth of peace and freedom, sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In the times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Pour out your Spirit on all of us gathered in so many places, Lord. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts before us, and make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make all of us, through these gifts, Christ's body alive in the world. Let's say amen. Amen. All are welcome to the table of God's love, and you may be seated. And in the United Methodist Church, we say that knowing that all means all. We encourage those of us who are worshiping from home to light a candle, to gather your elements close to you at this time, to form a community with whoever is there, right? If you are here in the sanctuary, we want you to know that we're going to invite you in the beginning, and that will be up to you to find your way either to the front or the back of the sanctuary as you are moved in time. There are places to pray all around the sanctuary, and so we commend those to you, as well as it is fine to stay right where you are and to breathe and to be present. On the communion plate is bread that was baked for us, but there's also a dish that has crackers that don't have gluten for those of us who need that. And in the cup is grape juice, always in our tradition. So come as you are ready. Come if you are not ready, and know that there is nothing you can do to make a mistake here. We are in this together. Thank you. give you thanks for this holy mystery, through which you reveal yourself to all of creation. May your peace make us one and call us to love one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Amen. For those who are at our prayer stations, please continue for as long as you are moved. In addition to responding to God's love by coming to the table, we invite you to respond to God's love by giving generously in support of our ministries here at the table. And I think folks know, but it's always worth being reminded that our giving makes our ministries possible and helps our community of faith to align with God's awe-inspiring presence here in Sacramento and in all the world around us. So we always want to say thank you and always want to say you're invited to be part of that. We want to remind you that Rise Up OG loaves are for sale today, and that today is the last day to pre-order. If you want to pick up bread that's already paid for the whole month of August, today's the last day to do that. And how do you do that? Well, you download our church app called Church Center. And if you need help with that, there is someone at the Next Steps table, I think that's Lynn this morning, who can help you with that. And there are a lot of teenagers around, and you go, I don't know how to do the next step. And they go, it's easy. And then you can let them put it on your phone even. Hey. Flower and produce subscriptions can be purchased in the same way so that we support our farm. As we said, growing in faith, the Davis group is full, the one of the 11th and 12th is full. And the Davis group has, I think, one more spot, but I have to look, email me, and we can talk about that. So we are going to close with a song, but before we do that, we have yet another sending forth time. Oh, I need two hands. And that means I'm going to try not to cry in public, which is dashed hope. So many people come and are part of our community and move, and then come back and surprise us with their baby. Oh, my Lord. He was so little when they left. But also, they go away to school to get educated, and they grow up beautiful. And then I'm inviting Kylie and her mama to come forward, one of her mamas. So I'm not going to look at you. Okay, that's how we're going to do this. Kylie's going to graduate school, right? And I remember when Kylie told me she was going to be the president of the United States.
Yeah. Yeah. To clarify, I was probably 8 years old.
Yes, she was 8 years old, but you know what? She's going to law school. Yeah. Ha-ha. So I know, goosebumps, right? I'm so proud of you. I can't look at you. Okay, so we would love for everyone to be part of this sending. If I get it. Here we go. I invite you to stand. East Coast, right? It's really far away. Okay. And so she's got her hand on me, but I invite you to put your hand up like this as we are all part of this blessing, and I'm going to let you leave your hand there. And there's going to be a part on the screen for all of us to share together. We feel sorrow in your leaving. New phase of your life. We will miss your presence, yet we know you will add much to the lives of those in your new home, as you have added so much to our lives. We will pray for you and for all of us as you take this huge next step. Let us pray. Loving God, you watch over all of us in love and with mercy and with grace, and we place Kylie into your hands. As she prepares for this huge transition, keep and preserve her in all health and safety, both of her body and of her beautiful soul. May she continue to grow and flourish as she takes this next step in life. And may she go in peace, and may all of our prayers go with her. Let's all say amen.
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 Okay.
We did it. Thank you. I really like it when she's proud of me. It's been a long relationship. So let us go forth with this last no fear.
When life piles up as you feel.
Thing all throughout the Bible, it says fear not. You know why? Because stuff happens and it's huge and it makes us afraid. It does. But God's word is fear not. God is with us this day and every day. Go forth in that knowledge. Amen.